Can somebody read that verse to me? Chapter 10, verse 36.
The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all.
He is Lord of all. Now remember in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached, he said that God made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. A Jewish person will hear that said, I understand it. Christ, anointed one, son of David. I appreciate that. I could believe that. But Cornelius doesn't know any of that stuff. But now, what Peter is saying, that the Lord Jesus is Lord of all. It's not Caesar. That's a title was given to Caesar. He's Lord. No, not Caesar anymore. Christ is Lord of all. So if you are a Jew, if you are a Samaritan, if you are Italian, the Lord Jesus is Lord of all. And when you become a Christian, you become part of that great building, that great body that the Lord added to it. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter where you came from. Now, in Caesarea, that's where Cornelius was. Do you think they did the same thing they did in Jerusalem in Acts 2:42? Just like they did in Samaria in Acts chapter 8? Steadfastly, the apostle doctrine, fellowship, prayer, breaking of the bread and prayer. So, if you go to Caesarea, you find them doing the same thing that they did in Jerusalem. And if you go to Samaria, they find they are doing the same thing that they're doing in Jerusalem. And Cornelius will be accepted in Jerusalem. And that was very hard for anybody who is a Jew. Trust me, even Peter had a difficulty with it. We read that in Galatians. He really had a problem with that. That to see a Gentile co-equal with him in the grace of God. Only Christ could do such a work. I will build. And look what he's doing. Broke down the barrier completely between everything that man has been trying for years to unite people together. They can't. But here is the word of God. One quick one. Do you want to see which part of the world have most troubles and people could not get along and hate each other? A little bit louder. The Middle East. The Middle East. The Palestinians and the Israelis, they just hate each other. We have four assemblies, I think, in Israel. How many?
Seven.
Okay, thanks. Seven. My facts are backward. Seven assemblies. Now, this is a place, you go to one of the assemblies in there, in Jerusalem, or in one of the villages there. Okay. And you walk in, and you will find a Jew and a Palestinians. They're not Jew and a Palestinians, they're Christians now. Sitting together in one room. There's no United Nations treaty to tell them how to get along. There's no resolution 159-62 to tell them how they will act together. It's the Spirit of God. And you walk in there, and here is a great testimony of how the work of God is. Man could not do such a thing. They're sitting together, having the same hymn book, singing the same hymns, ministering from the same word of God, breaking bread together in unity. They love each other. They counsel with each other. There's no peacekeeping in between in the middle of the whole way. And that is a testimony to the grace of God. All of the United Nations power and force and man intellect and ability could not do that. The Spirit of God is doing that.
And I think it's important just to follow that. How did Peter come to this place? You know, young people, you know, the great question we have to ask ourselves is, am I adjustable? Can the Spirit of God come in and give me a verse and me be willing to change? That's going to be the secret of blessing in your life as you get older, as you mature. With Peter, it was a vision. We well recognize that. And with Cornelius, it was. Why don't we have visions today? We don't have visions today because we have a completed Bible in our hands. We have the completed written Word of God. I want just to read to you. We read verse 36, but I want to read the testimony of Peter in verse 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. What is the real truth behind what Peter is saying? I had been one of those. I had been in my life a respecter of persons. And I found out that God has shown me that he is not. Well, that's a very important principle. Now Peter says, my life is going to be changed and governed by what God has told me. Not only that, he says, but in every nation he that feareth him. This is what Emil was just saying. Every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus, he is Lord of all. Now, how far did this change go with Peter? Was it just lip service? Was he just saying this for those that was here? Turn across your page to verse 44. Verse 44 of chapter 10. While Peter yet spake these words. He is standing up there. He is talking to them. Look what happens. The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Why were they astonished? Well, because they had been in this same boat with Peter. And this was something that was new. But they were adjustable. They were willing to change. They were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what has God done? He's sealed those. He has said now, it's not just Jerusalem, it's not just Samaria, but now here is the household of Cornelius who represents those of the Gentiles.
Question.
Go ahead.
Why would Cornelius pray and fear God when he was a Gentile? I thought Gentiles didn't like care about God and all that.
It's a good question. What was the truth? And I'm going to give what I believe. I don't believe even in this time. I think there were many among the Gentiles who knew the true God. He was not in the good of the assembly yet. He was not in the good of salvation full and known as it is in Jesus Christ. And Peter was the one that was going to be used to bring he and his household into the fullness of this message.
Doesn't verse 2 of chapter 10 help us with that? That we read already, that he was a devout man and one that feared God. Mm. And so that there was a faith in his heart already. And I think it's beautiful to see that there's, when we look at the Jewish system, and now we're seeing the Gentiles brought into this new system of things where the Spirit of God is coming upon all people, that there's no law that defines who this Spirit of God is going to be available to. No Jewish law of the Old Testament. This is now simply, there's first faith evident in the reality that Christ is the Son of God. And so then the Spirit comes and dwells within that man of faith.